years of me being the pastor, I just asked my grandmother how long she's been playing the organ here in this church. She's been playing the organ for 65 years in this church. So if we're going to honor anybody, let's honor her tonight. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord for it. I like this chorus. It's a great one to choose. I think she tried to push my button tonight. I think that's what she's doing. Let's sing this with her, shall we? Let's sing it together. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasure earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. So, my brother, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Here's my cup, fill it up, and make me
Thank you, ladies. Beautifully, beautifully done. If you do not have the copy of this book that we're traveling through, the men are coming forward. And if you don't have a copy of it, please raise your hand. We've got some more copies of this. If you have your copy, or as soon as you get it, you're going to turn to page number 29. That's where we're going, is page number 29. So as these ushers make their way up the aisle, if you need a copy of the book,
please turn to page number 29, raise your hand, get their attention. I want you to take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight. It'll take me a little while to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're in the middle right now of sharing with you, as we travel through this book together, on our church motto. These are all M's. I know it starts out with our history, but then we start giving you M's, our message, our meaning, and now we're on our church motto. Our motto hangs above my head up here, a lot higher than my head up here, and so on. This, a heart for God, a home for you, a hope for all. Last Sunday night, we got through the second point of that, so we're going to pick up with point number three, a hope for all. I'm going to go back and just tap on the head, the opening two here, which begins on page 27, but we'll pick up our study here on page 29. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us to be faithful to you, to trust you, to believe you, to obey you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I remind you that a motto is simply something that expresses the purpose or expresses the spirit of the place. In other words, what are we going after? What is our desire? Why do we exist? And in a church motto, these three statements basically summarize what this church is all about. Now, we've looked at two of the three here. Let me just tap them on the head. First of all, a heart for God. Now, I taught on this in detail last week. You can go back and get it. Let me just emphasize it by saying this. This church does not exist for me. This church doesn't exist for you. This church does not exist to make you feel good about yourself. This church exists for the glory of God. That's why it exists. And we're to have a heart for God. Secondly, it's to be a home for you. And the you here is anybody. Makes no difference what the skin color is. Makes no difference what the cultural background is. Makes no difference what the language they speak is. Makes no difference. Everybody should find a home or a potential home at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Rich, poor, somebody that lives in a mansion, somebody that lives in the gutter, somebody who's homeless or has the best house represented, somebody who has the greatest car or still drives a horse-pulled wagon, for crying out loud. Makes no difference who they are. We're to be an impartial church. We're to be a home for everybody. That's what a home for you means. Finally, tonight, we come to page 29, and the third thing to our motto is a hope for all. Vance Havner said this, and I'm going to read a lot of this, if not all of it. The tragedy today is that the situation is desperate, but the saints are not. You know, we don't want this to be the case at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. What I'm doing with you tonight is I'm opening the burden of the church, but I'm also opening my chest, if you will, and I'm letting you look into the heart of your pastor. If you want to know what my heart is, it's up here hanging above my head. It's to have a heart for God and God alone. It's to be an impartial Christian who goes after everybody, and it's to give a clear gospel presentation to every breathing creature on planet Earth. This is the purpose of the church. Now get this. It's our burden to see this community, this state, this country, and this world reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I have drawn an arrow above gospel up there so I can write, and I put a clear presentation. There's a lot of the gospel around our community. There's a lot of the gospel that's presented in churches, but not a clear presentation of the gospel. We need a clear presentation in our community. And notice this, we desire to put the gospel, the clear presentation of the gospel, into every home, every hand, and pray it gets into every heart. And in order to help with this, it's my burden to see every member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church trained to win souls for Jesus Christ. Soul winning should be a lifestyle for our members as they and they should desire to share their faith with others everywhere they go. It's our desire that God's children reach their own Jerusalem. The way the Lord has emphasized it to me is, remember how he says, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the othermost part of the earth. Do you realize that not only the local church has a Jerusalem, But every child of God has a Jerusalem. What I mean by that is your immediate surroundings. And what we try to challenge our members, challenge those who call this church your church home, is to start out reaching people in your Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem would be your neighborhood, your co-workers, your family members. That's your Jerusalem. I have a Jerusalem. You have a Jerusalem. It is our desire to reach our Jerusalem for Jesus Christ. This church should reach our Jerusalem. That is our community. That is the Tri-Cities area, if you will. God has a Jerusalem for this church, but if this church ever reaches its Jerusalem, it'll be because its members are reaching their Jerusalem. Do you understand what I'm saying to you when I say that? Do you realize that God has people strategically placed in places? I call it the Mark chapter 5 syndrome, if you will, or program. Mark chapter 5 verses 1 to 20 teaches about the maniac of Gadara. The maniac of Gadara, you know the story there, how he was up in the mountains, he was crying and cutting himself, and he was naked, he was out of his right mind, all of this. He was scaring the townspeople, they went up and put chains on him, but he was so powerful, the Bible says he just plucked them off of his wrist. He had legion, I'm talking about a legion of demons living inside of him. That means many demons were abiding in him, and he had the power of these demons, so he just plucked those chains off. But he met Jesus. And the demons spoke to Jesus outside, I'm talking about from inside this man, and said, if you're going to cast us out into these pigs over here. The emphasis there is this, the devil would just as much have a pig as have you. Think about that. They said, if you're going to cast us out, let us go into all these pigs over here. And boy, that speaks to me that he'd just as much have a pig as me. So the Lord gave them leave, and they obeyed. They had to. He's all powerful, and he sent them into the pigs, and they ran and fell off a cliff and drowned in the sea. You remember the story. And now the man who was naked and out of his right mind, Mark chapter 5 verses 1 to 20, is now sitting clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. And the townspeople come out and see all of this. And it scares them. So they take it out on the Lord who had been so good to this man. Jesus had saved this man. He had changed this man's life. Only Jesus can save you. Only the Lord Jesus can save you. Nobody else can take your sin away from you except Jesus Christ. Only the Lord. Only the Lord. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Lord saved this man and changed his life. And the townspeople come and kick Jesus out of town. Question. There sits the man who's just been changed by Jesus. Who would you want to go with? Would you want to stay there among the people who kicked him out, or would you want to go with the Lord? He wanted to go with the Lord. So would I. But here's what the Lord told him. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Question, who was the Lord Jesus sending that man back to? The same crowd who just came out and kicked him out of town. So the Lord left, but he had a witness among them. He had somebody living in their town. He had somebody who lived in their neighborhood. I call it the Mark 5, 1 through 20 program. What it means is this. You have places around this world. Some of you all you work in a place for all practical purposes, they've tried to kick God out. They don't want him there. They don't want anything to do with him. But you work there. Could it be that that's your Jerusalem? And even though they tried to kick God out, he strategically placed you right in the middle of them because he wants you to tell them about him. Jesus told this man, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you. Somebody says, I don't know how to witness. Hogwash. If you're saved, you know how to witness because all you have to do is tell others what Jesus has done for you. Amen. They need to hear how he loved you. They need to hear how he saved you. They need to hear how he changed your life. Hey, public schools around this place. I'm talking about this country, the United States of America. They try to kick God out, but there are saved young people in those schools. There are saved teachers in those schools. And may I say this to you? Be a witness while you're there. This is the heartbeat of this church. This is what a hope for all means. It means that we want to reach our Jerusalem along with reaching our immediate area. This is the third paragraph down. We desire to help local cities. I'm talking about we desire to help locate cities, zip codes, and towns around America that need Bible-believing churches. When we locate an area in need like this and meet the man whom God has called to pastor a church in that area, we are open to temporarily sending certain of our members to help that man win people to Christ and disciple them. Along with this, teams to help with constructing buildings and can be sent if and when it's appropriate. You know, one of my burdens is, I've already brought this out when we were going over the budget, I think it is, or whatever. A lot of days start running together for me. But anyway, one of my burdens is that this church literally reproduce itself in other places. I believe that there are cities and zip codes around America that need a church like Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. They need a church that's going to teach them the truth of the gospel. They need a church that's not going to compromise. They need a church that's going to point them to Jesus Christ. And here's how God's working in my heart. Why don't you locate zip codes in cities and towns around America that does not have a church like this? And then call some Bible colleges that are in that area, or maybe raise it up in this church and ask, is it possible that there's a man sitting here tonight and God is challenging you and burdening you, and you say, I just want to do something for God? Could God be calling you to go to an unreached city around America? Uproot your family and go. We'll send a team with you and we'll help you plant a church. Or could it be that we call a Crown College or call a West Coast or call an ambassador and say, hey, we've located a city, we've located a zip code, we've located a small town. Do you have any graduates that have a burden to pastor and they have a burden for that part of the world? Do you have anybody like that? And they say, yes, I know a man right now. Can we meet with him? They don't even have a building. So be it. We go help him knock doors for a week, or we go help him for a month, or we go help him for 2 months. Some can give a week, some can give a day, some can give a month. Hey, let me tell you something. When you're dead and gone, wouldn't it be great to leave behind a local independent Baptist church that you helped start? This is the will of God, friends. We desire not only to do it here, we desire to reproduce ourselves there. Then, finally, we desire to have a worldwide ministry in which we help win souls, disciple them, and plant churches around the globe. This is where our Faith Promise Mission Program comes into play. Once a year, we conduct Faith Promise Sunday, during which those who consider Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church their home can anonymously commit a portion of their income above their tithes. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe goes to the local church. But above their tithe, as they pray and seek God, money to go to the foreign mission field, money to help plant churches abroad, here in America and abroad, and they pray about it, and anonymously, if they so choose, they don't even have to write their name on it, because it's not a pledge. It's simply a faith promise commitment that if God gives it, I give it above my tithe and offerings to this local church to go help plant churches on the mission field here and abroad. These are works which are winning people to Christ and planting local New Testament churches. We've already started this, but we intend to have mission trips in which our church members visit and assist our missionaries on the field. Our next one is in November. We're going to Brazil. We're going down to be with Brother Graham. The folks who are going, we're all going to be with Brother Graham. I'm looking forward to that. He's going to wear me out preaching. Glory. Hallelujah. It's one reason I go. But then I'm separating from the group. The group's going to come back home. I'm staying over. I'm going to fly to be with Rom and going to preach a 3-day evangelistic crusade for Rom. So I'm going to be gone 2 Sundays, and everybody said amen to that, right? In November. But let me tell you something. There's a verse, I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah, it says, mine eye hath affected my heart. Mine eye hath affected mine heart. Let me say something to you. If you've never been to the foreign mission field, I realize that some of you may never go, and that's fine, because you need to pray about it, seek God. But we at least want to make these trips available to you, so if you desire to go, you can go. You see what I'm saying? If you don't see it, you're not going to be affected the way that those who do see it are. It does something to you when you go to the foreign mission field and you watch those precious Indians walking to the meeting. You watch those precious Indians with a pastor who had come to the meeting that night and was riding around on a bicycle or a motorcycle, one Brother Steve, and he brought 400 people with him in one night. 400 visitors, one man. They sit down to eat. They don't have forks. They use their hands and roll it up in little balls and eat it. It does something to you. It does something to you whenever you go overseas and you're walking around in Thailand. Like we've been over there, Brother Harry's been over there numerous times. You walk around, you see some of those orphans that Pastor Joseph has brought in, or you see a modern day leper laying there, just asking for some change. It does something to you, friends. We desire to be a church that offers mission trips so you can get away from the homeland and then get on your hands and knees and kiss it when you get home. Makes me sick when I hear things like, you know, people burning the American flag. I know what I'd do with people like that. I'd put them all on an airplane and send them out of here if they don't like this place. Amen, friends. They don't like it. Send them out somewhere else. But don't let them tear this country down. By the way, that's happening. And I'm telling you tonight, we want to be a church that we have a hope for all. Those in our Jerusalem, those in our Judea, those in our Samaria, and those in the uttermost part of the earth. We want to give things to you that you can get involved in to help you reach your Jerusalem. Help us reach our Samaria. Help us reach our Judea. And if you so choose, you can literally go with us around the world and help us reach the uttermost part. It's a blessing when you give to the offering. Please don't stop that. Because these missionaries that are relying on our faith promise giving, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. But we want to make it to where you not only can give, you can go if you so choose. We're not going to try to press you to do that. We're not going to look at you and say, you need to go. No, you need to pray about it. And as we have these mission trips, if God lays it on your heart, go. And I guarantee you, I can almost guarantee you, it'll change your life. Amen. This is what it's about. Dr. Clarence Sexton, I'm on the top of page 30, said, you reap a harvest where you place an emphasis. I like that. That's a great statement. If you emphasize it long enough, you're going to reap a harvest there. You reap a harvest where you place an emphasis. And our emphasis is helping fulfill the Great Commission by soul winning, discipling, and planting churches here and abroad. By the way, I've already mentioned this about going out and helping start churches, and I've had a number of you already come to me and say, put me down. I'll go. I'll give a week. I'll give 2 weeks. That's a blessing, friends. That's a blessing. Why don't we pray? Lord, lay a specific area on our heart. Show us where you want us to do this. Send forth laborers and watch God work. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Somebody said that the Samaria there, and it's hard to argue with this, it's hard to refute this, they say that the Jerusalem is your immediate surroundings. Your Judea is out further than that. The uttermost part of the earth is obviously the uttermost part of the earth. But they said Samaria. Some people that I read after and so on. They teach, and it's one that I'm really leaning towards, that when he said, "You shall be witnesses unto me in Samaria." Remember back in this day that the Jews hated the Samaritans. They were considered the trash of the earth. Didn't want anything to do with them. And could it be that God said, "You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, uttermost part of the earth, oh, and by the way, in Samaria too." Those people you don't want anything to do with. Those people have nobody. Those people that are by themselves and nobody cares and they're looked at as the trash of the earth. You listening to me? The Lord died to make it possible for even those people to be saved. And God loves them as much as He loves me. Now, I thought I was going to get further than this. I'm not going to. Our church motto, a heart for God, that summarizes everything. We're doing it for God. It's God is our goal. Not me, not numbers, not nothing. It's God. He's our goal. We want to please Him. A home for you. That's our local work, if you will, that this church needs to be a church with open doors to all people, no matter who they are, where they come from. Makes no difference. A hope for all. We want to focus on our Jerusalem, but not stay planted there. We want to go move outside our Jerusalem and start reaching our Samaria, start reaching our Judea, start reaching the uttermost part of the earth. That's the work God has given to this church. And this 3-point outline for our church motto is what I call, if you will, it's the purpose of this church. It's why we exist. We exist to please God, help you, and give the gospel around the world. That's what it's about. We're striving to love God with all of our hearts, be a place where anyone can find a church home, and help share the gospel here and abroad. That is all in those three statements. We desire to exalt our Savior. Desire to evangelize lost sinners, and we desire to edify the saints. It's all in these statements right here. This is why Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church exists. Why do we exist? To please God. Have a place where you can come and worship no matter who you are. And be a place that gives the clear presentation in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Now this is nothing new under the sun. This is not some, "Man, I never knew that." It's not that tonight. This is just a reminder of why we're here, which means everybody needs to be in it with a heart for God. Everybody. Everybody can be involved in sharing a hope for all. But I hope that you're settled, that you personally have found a home where you can settle down in and worship God. You see this? You get it? Do you understand this? It's our desire to follow the Lord to the ends of the earth. I hope it's your desire too. Even if you never physically go, I hope you're helping others go. I think I heard a statement like this. I'm sure this is not original with me, because it's too good to be original with me, if you understand. Everybody can either go or help others go. Do you understand that? Everybody can go in their Jerusalem. I'm talking about beyond. I'm talking about the uttermost part of the earth. Not everybody here is going to get on a plane and go across the seas. I know that. And by the way, that doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. Some of you, God doesn't want you to go out of the country. He wants you to stay right here. Never go out of the country. But we want to at least offer things so you can pray about it and say, "Yes, I believe God wants me to do that." But if you never go, maybe God would have you help somebody go who feels they need to go. That's faith promise. That's helping in that way. Okay? Now, how do I conclude this? I had you turn to 1 Corinthians 3 because I thought I was going to get to the next point, but I didn't. So we never got there, but let me just encourage you. Why don't you be a Christian like this? Why not we not just be a church like this, but why don't we be a Christian like this? A Christian who has a heart for God, a home for anybody, and help share a hope for all. That'd be a great way to live your life, wouldn't you agree? Amen or not, friends? Let's be a church like this. Let's ask God to keep us that way, okay? Father, we love you tonight. I pray you'll help us now to understand this, to believe this, to submit to it. Help us to have a heart for God, no doubt about it. Help us to be a home for all people, no matter who they are, no matter what background they come from, no matter what country they're from, no matter what social status they are. Help us to be a home for everybody, impartial, and help us to share a hope for all. Bless us now, I pray. Now, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As we travel through this book together, it's a little bit different, I know that. It's different than me preaching a sermon to you. We're just sharing with you an introduction to this church, what this church is about, who are we, why do we exist. And I trust that you take this book and read through it and let the Lord speak to you. But as they begin to play through softly, let me ask you a question as you're here tonight. Is it possible in a crowd this size that you're here but you do not know for sure you're going to heaven? Is it possible that you're here but you've never trusted Christ and Christ alone as your Savior? I'm asking you tonight, are you 100% sure that you are going to heaven? Are you 100% sure that you're a born-again child of God? Has there been a time when you were convicted of your sin and you realized that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for you? And has there been a time where you have turned from your sin to God and you've asked Him to come into your heart, forgive your sin, be your Lord and Savior? When you put your head on your pillow at night, do you have assurance that heaven is your home? Is there one tonight, say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I will not call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. If you say, Jody, pray for me, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. Or maybe you know you're not, and you're interested in learning more about this. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand in the air? Is there anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Anybody say, pray for me? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Yes. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? If you raised your hand to that, I want to invite you to come when we give the invitation. We'll take somebody with the Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight, many of you who are Christians, you know the Lord. You call this church your church home. You may not even be a member, but this is home to you. You found a home here. I want to invite you to come and ask God to help this church to ever be a place that has a heart for God, a home for others, and a hope for all. And I do covet your prayers, as preacher mentioned. Please pray for me. Please pray for my wife, my family. You know the devil attacks. But pray that the Lord's hand of blessing will rest, not only upon the leadership, but upon you and upon this church. Would you like to have this church in existence for another 235 years if God tarries His coming? I would. You know who's key to that right now? You, me. Why don't we pray and ask God to help us? Lord, you show us what you want us to do and help us to do it. Help us to trust and obey, to be obedient to you. So I trust that many of you will come to the altar tonight and ask God to help this church be the church that He wants it to be. Planting other churches, doing His will. Let's all stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, if you want to come and pray about the church, if you need Jesus, you come as He sings. You come now. Would you do it, please?
I want to do Thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will, O Lord.
Playing through. You can look this way. We're just about through here. I want to thank the church family who prayed for the big day at Daniel Boone on Friday. We have one of these each semester. There was 194 that came on Friday, and at least 20 of them raised their hand acknowledging that they were trusting Christ as their Savior. We give God the glory for that and the praise for it. He said, how many of them got it? As many of them as meant it. That's how many of them got it. We give God the glory for it. Let's pray for this open door. The Lord will keep it open. Let's just sing one more verse, Brother Gary. If nobody else comes, this will be it, okay? I want to do thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will, O Lord. Take me, mold me, mold me. I want to do thy will, O Lord.
I want the Lord to know as he listens in. That's my heart's cry. Not just for me, but for this church.
Can we sing it this way? I'm going back. I said we're just going to sing it one more time, but I feel the Lord impressing me to do this. Forgive me for saying it and then not immediately doing it, but can we sing it this way? We want to do thy will, O Lord. We want to do. It's not me, it's we. It's not I, it's us. I'm talking about the church setting. Can we sing it that way? And this will be the last time that we sing, unless the Lord leads otherwise, okay? Let's sing it that way.
We want to do thy will, O Lord.
You mean that?
We want to do thy will, O Lord. Take us, break us, mold us and make us. We want to do thy will.
Brother Bob Daniels, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us, please.